Please take your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We're going to start reading from Hebrews chapter 10. As I mentioned, our focus verse for this morning is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. As we read from chapter 10, we want to regain some of the context in which these verses that we'll be looking at today have been declared to us. So we'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 10, I'm looking in Corinthians, that's why I couldn't make the connection here with what I was looking at. Hebrews 10, verse 35, and we'll read all the way to verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is the word of the Lord, written to you, His people, a gift of His love to you, that you may know Him, that you may be able to come to Him, and receive His favor. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, how we do pray, Lord, that you would bless the reading and preaching of your word to our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to pay close attention to what you have written and said to us and what we will hear as it is preached. That we, Lord, in our lives may come to you in the way which you have prescribed and that we would receive your look of favor. Help us, Lord, to do these things by faith because we know, Lord, that's the only way that you will receive it. Work in our hearts now, Lord, through the preaching and hearing of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for several weeks now, we have been looking at the principle of the just shall live by faith. And having come to this verse in the book of Hebrews, we took a step back and went back to the book of Genesis, because that's where the book of Hebrews was leading us. And we have talked about many different subjects. But now we are back again in the book of Hebrews, which does what? Takes us right back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 4. But the author of Hebrews is still working and seeking to persuade these Hebrew Christians to endure, to persevere in the faith, believing in Christ to the end, and to not turn back to the old administration of the covenant of grace, but to be walking and trusting by faith in that covenant of grace found in the blood of Christ. He calls them not to go back, but to come forward with Jesus Christ. And we have learned over the months now in the book of Hebrews that that was the same covenant of grace back in those days under a different administration through the sacrifices and the ceremonies and other things that they would do. But now the covenant of grace is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. But the author of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, does tell us to look back at something. And we look at verse 2. He talks about faith. He says, for by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. He's talking about the fathers of the faith. He's talking about the mothers of the faith as well. He's talking about men and women, and no doubt young people who in times past, even though they were living under the old administration of the covenant of grace, they still were being called to live by faith. And that's why Hebrews chapter 10 tells us the just shall live by faith. It was that way then, and it is that way now. That is how God receives us, by faith in the things that He has done. And so those who live by faith are justified by God in His righteousness. And this list that we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 11, that we're going to start with in verse 4 today, but in the coming weeks, we'll look at a whole bunch of people whose lives are being lifted up and portrayed to you, God's people, so that you may see that faith is not just a theory, but a reality. That there were people He did not have enough room to name, who actually lived by faith. And some in some very perilous times and very, very challenging trials that they were facing. We also read verse 39 of Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at that again. The Spirit says, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Verse 39 speaks of two people or two groups of people. One who lives by faith and is justified by God. And the other who does not live by faith and is drawing back to perdition or damnation. And so verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11 is an illustration of Hebrews 10 verse 39. And the Spirit of God uses the lives of Cain and Abel. Abel lived by faith and was accepted by God. Cain drew back from faith and was rejected by God. And this is the argument that the writer of Hebrews and the Spirit of God is making to these Hebrew Christians and to us today. And it is this: the just shall live by faith alone. But it is not a faith that is alone. It is a faith that is accompanied with obedient action. And that's what we see here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and Genesis chapter 4, which we'll be referring back to Genesis 4 quite often this morning. So just be aware of that. But these passages reveal to us how we come to be in a relationship with God Himself. And it is through faith alone. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11 will be seeking to persuade the people of that day and also the people of our day. And we're going to see this morning in verse 4 in three different ways. And the first is that the Lord respected Abel in his person. He respected him in his person. The Lord respected Abel in his presentation. And finally, the Lord respected Abel in his persecution. The first thing I want to do before we get to the first point is to clarify what this word respect means. And we've been talking about it already this morning. The word respect means to gaze at something, to look at something. And you can look at something and to gaze upon it either approvingly or non-approvingly. And so we'll see the Lord gazing at Abel and his offering. That's what the word respect means. But He will not be looking. He will not gaze at Cain and his offering. His look for Abel meant acceptance. Not looking at Cain meant rejecting him. His look at Abel meant blessing. And his look at Cain, or not looking at Cain rather, meant curses upon him. So respect here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, or actually that comes from Genesis chapter 4, the Lord had respect to Abel's offering. That word means to gaze or look upon. Now you can easily identify with that, because you, growing up as a child, can remember the times that your parents looked at you with approval. You can remember how they looked at you with acceptance of you. And you can also remember how there were times when they didn't look at you. Maybe they turned away from you, showing that they were not accepting you or your behavior at that moment. And so let us remember what this means. In Genesis chapter 4, where it says the Lord had respect for Abel, but not for Cain. It means he wouldn't look at Cain, but he would look at Abel. And he looked at him with favor. And so let's first look then at the Lord's respect of Abel's person. In Genesis chapter 4 and Hebrews 11, 4, they both address the person of Abel. Genesis 4 tells us the Lord had respect for Abel. And I'm going to turn there and we're going to read that. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 says, "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." And so we see here, this is the dilemma. That one was looked upon with favor, and one was not looked at all. Genesis 4 tells us the Lord had respect for Abel. Hebrews 11, 4 tells us that Abel obtained a witness from God that he was righteous. And so both of these passages are putting a focus on the person of Abel. And what is this focus? It is his faith. The way that Hebrews 11, 4 is constructed shows us that the words "by faith" are attached to the three following phrases that follow these words. And we could say it like this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he obtained witness from God that he was righteous. And by faith, he, being dead, still speaks. Abel was a man who is identified as one who had faith in God and His Word. And so the Lord looked at him, gazed upon him, gave him His attention, and accepted him. Now, Abel's faith was not just a general faith, like many people have today, who believe in God or a God or some higher power or something out there, because all this couldn't just come about by nothing. Some people have that general kind of faith. But we are told here that Abel had a particular kind of faith, and it was faith in God and His Word. And this is one of the key differences in Cain and Abel, and in the true believer and the false believer of our day. True faith, the faith that the Bible is talking about that faith that has as its object the one and only living and true God, and everything that comes out of His mouth. That's what true faith is. Now, we also know that God did not gaze on Abel because of his personal goodness. The Lord did not look on Abel because he, in and of himself, was righteous. Now, how do we know that? Because of the very fact of what Abel was doing indicated that Abel knew certain things about himself and about the Lord. And the first thing that he knew that we can see from his actions and demonstrated that he did not think he had a personal righteousness, a personal goodness, was that Abel knew he was a sinner. He knew he was not righteous. When we look at Abel, we have to realize some things about him. Abel was the second man to be ever born in sin, Cain being the first. But Abel was the first born man, the first one born in sin, to come to God with an offering for sin. Think about that. Abel was the first man born in sin to recognize his need for a sin offering. He also was then the first man born in sin to come to God and be declared righteous, not because of his personal self, but because of his faith in God. Something else Abel knew that tells us that he was not trusting in his own personal righteousness. Abel knew that sin was only dealt with by the shedding of blood. Now, it is not told to us, but we do know, we have to know that either God spoke directly to Cain and Abel, or their parents taught them about their experiences in the garden, because their actions show that. He knew about Adam and Eve and how they had sinned against God. He knew that God had brought them and put them under a curse that they were all living under now. And so either God did or their parents did teach them these things. And they knew, Cain and Abel, that it was the shedding of blood. You see, they too had to be covered with animal skins. They too were covered with animal skins, just like Adam and Eve were when God took away those leaves that they had made to cover their nakedness. And believe me, it was not just their nakedness they were trying to cover. The fact that they knew they were naked was their guilt and their shame because of their sin. So Abel knew that these skins that he was wearing, that his parents were wearing, came about because of the shedding of blood of an animal, because of their sin. He knew blood had been shed for sin. He also knew the promise of a seed to come, to crush the head of the serpent who tempted Adam and Eve to sin. These would be the things that Adam and Eve would have taught their children. And that's why he came. That's why he came, because he knew that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, as the book of Hebrews tells us. Now we know that Abel came in faith, because verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. But we also see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, that the Spirit of God writes here, after he has listed a whole bunch of people who have lived this way, he says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If Abel is part of this category of all people dying in faith, so early on in God's covenant redemptive plan, what promise? What promise was being applied to Abel? What promise did he see being made and yet had not seen it fulfilled and received? What promise except Genesis 3:15, where God promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent? That's the promise. Abel, that is the promise that Abel and Cain were made familiar with and were taught. By faith, Abel believed that. Abel believed what God had said. Though sin has come, and though sin has brought a great curse and death upon all men, Abel believed that a Savior was coming who would crush the head of the serpent and overcome the curse. And so both Cain and Abel were taught these things, and they knew to do right. God holds Cain accountable, tells him, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted if you do well? And so they both knew, and they even acknowledged these things. Abel acknowledged them by faith and believed these things, and was by God declared righteous. The Lord looked. The Lord gazed at Abel with approval, declaring him righteous. But not Cain. Cain was not a man of faith in God and His Word. And Genesis 4 tells us that the Lord did not gaze upon Cain. He did not look upon Cain and his offering. And the idea here is I want you to put this picture in your mind, that as Cain comes to the Lord with his offering from the fruit of the ground, what does the Lord do but turn away from him? He looked away from Cain because Cain was not coming by faith in God and His Word. Now, Cain did have some kind of faith, didn't he? For he did come to God with an offering. He did acknowledge God's existence. God was speaking to him, even that God was to be worshipped in some way, and that God was responsible. We could say, Cain could say, well, you're responsible for all this provision of my harvest, so I'll bring it to you as an offering. He had a general kind of faith. But his faith was not true faith in the Lord and His Word, even though he too was taught the right things from the Lord and from his parents. We know he knew what Abel knew because God holds him to that same standard. If we look in Genesis chapter 4 again, the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" Verse 6, "And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" And that verse phrase there, "if you do well," it is the Lord saying to Cain, the word "well" there is sound. If you do what is sound, if you do what is right, the same word can be used for the word beautiful. If you do what is sound and beautiful, you will be accepted. When I read those words, it puts a kind of a different perspective on worship. It is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing to be called by God to come and trust in His Son Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for our sin, to trust in that alone and to worship God in the way that He has called us to do so. God calls a beautiful thing. And He says, you will be accepted, or you will be exalted. Because here he was, downcast. His countenance had fallen. And God is saying to him, if you want to be lifted up, come to me by faith and do what I've called you to do and be trusting in the things that I've called you to trust in. And the difference between Cain's faith and Abel's faith is that Abel had trusting and saving faith where Cain did not. Abel's faith was not only in the Lord, but also in His Word. Faith in the promise. That's what Hebrews 11:13 tells us. Abel died holding on to the promises that God had made in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel's faith led to his redemption, and Cain's lack of faith led to his rejection. The Lord gazed upon Abel with pleasure because he had faith. And the Lord testified of him that he was righteous because of that. He believed in and trusted in God to fulfill His promises of salvation. This is the doctrine of justification by faith alone. This is where we first see it being taught. That you cannot come to God in any other means except the ones that He has provided. And when a person does that, when they come by faith, God declares them to be righteous, applies the righteousness of God to them. Not that they in and of themselves are righteous. The very fact that they are coming to God for salvation, the very fact that they are coming to God for forgiveness is a declaration. I am not righteous, and I need to be declared righteous. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ in the promise of Genesis 3:15 that God can look at Abel and say, because you are trusting in the sacrifice I have appointed, you are trusting in the promise of God, I will declare you to be righteous. I will testify, Hebrews 11:4 says, it will be my testimony that you are righteous. But God not only looked at him upon Abel with favor and grace in his person, He also gazed and looked upon Abel's presentation of the offering he brought. And that's what we're going to see next. This also is in Genesis chapter 4. Verse 4, it says, "And the Lord respected Abel, looked upon him, gazed upon Abel, and not only gazed upon Abel, but gazed upon his offering, his presentation." And Hebrews 11:4 tells us that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which tells us they both brought sacrifices. It tells us that they both brought something in worship. which should speak to us loudly. There is a way to worship God, and it is the way that He has prescribed for us. And there is another way that you can come and pretend to worship God in your own will, in your own way, in which God will not look at. Genesis 4, verses 3 and 4 tells us exactly what both men brought and how it represented their faith. In verse 3, Cain brought an offering from the fruit of the ground. Verse 4, Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And here in Hebrews 11, 4, Abel's offering is described as being a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. This word, more excellent sacrifice, can mean greater in quantity or quality. And here it is used with the idea of quality. Why was it greater in quality? Why was an animal greater than fruit of the ground, fruit and vegetables? Why would that be greater? Both cost the giver something. Both are bringing some kind of gift or sacrifice, but only one was accepted. And it was accepted because it was a more excellent offering, a more excellent sacrifice. Because it was an offering that was made by faith according to God's word. Because Abel had been taught that an animal had been sacrificed to cover the exposed nakedness of his parents. And thereby, he also needed that covering. He needed that animal to be sacrificed. And so Abel brought this particular offering because it was an offering for sin. And both he and Cain knew this. But Cain's response was not one of faith in God and His Word, but one of faith in himself and his own ways. We could say many things about Cain's response, draw many conclusions about Cain's response. I think one of the things is that he was saying to the Lord, "Oh, I'll come worship, but I'll come in my way. I'll come to you for salvation, but I will come in my way. And I will give, and it should be good enough for you to look at me and receive me and accept me. It should be good enough because I'm giving you something. And who are you to determine how I should approach you?" Oftentimes we hear that from the world when we share the gospel. "Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe particularly in Jesus Christ, who has been provided for the way to God. I believe in God or a God, but I don't believe I must believe in Christ exclusively as the way to God." We hear that when we share the gospel with people. Or we hear, "I think I'm doing okay. I don't need the way that God has prescribed for salvation or for worship." This is very similar to Cain's response. But Abel's gift, his presentation of an offering, was according to God's word. He came to God in God's way, according to God's will, and was giving God's testimony upon him, "This man is righteous." "For by faith, in all the things that I have given to him, to provide for him for salvation, to provide for him to enter into my presence, he has believed. And so I am declaring," the Lord says, "I am declaring him to be righteous." His gifts were accepted. God could look on them. He could turn his face towards Abel and his offering because it was by faith. It was what God called him to do. The offering of Abel was a blood offering to pay for his sins, showing that an innocent animal, that blood had to be shed for the one who was guilty of sin. God could look at that. God could look at that with favor, because that's exactly what God was going to do in Jesus Christ. The offering of Abel was a blood offering to pay for his sins. It was promised in Genesis 3, chapter 15. But it was also, in the same time, an offering of worship. For that is what a person is turned into when they come to saving faith through Jesus Christ. God doesn't just save you and leave you where you were. He makes you a new creature. He makes you born again by the Holy Spirit, adopted into His family, justified, declared just by Him, and He makes you a worshiper of Him. Salvation is not just for the end of your life and you get to go to be with the Lord. Salvation is to make you a worshiper today. It is to make you one who serves God today, who humbly gets before God and says, I come to you in the name of Christ, that you, as you have received Him, you would also receive me. And so Abel's offering that he presented to God was an expression of faith in his salvation and in his worship of God according to God's Word. And so must it be with our worship. So must it be with our coming to God to be in a relationship with Him according to God's Word, so that God may look upon us. Again, as I mentioned a few times in the Psalms that we have already sang, it was the psalmist's desire to have the Lord look upon him with favor. One phrase said, we seek your face. We want you, Lord, to receive us. So how do we do that? Like Abel did, by faith. First, believing that we can come into His presence by the way of Christ's sacrifice. And that is the only way. That is the only way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is an exclusivity about coming to God by faith in salvation and worship, and we only do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the thing the world hates the most, that we say there is one way to come to God. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The world loves the church when the church will say, everybody can come, the door is wide open, come in your own way, come in your own will, according to your own thoughts and imaginations. Come, and God will receive you. If there is ever a passage in the Bible that says that is not true, it is Genesis 4 and John 14:6. We must come by the way of Christ's sacrifice. Second, we also see that we must come in the way He has prescribed for us to come in worship. Cain and Abel were coming in worship. And God has not left it up to man to determine how he will worship God. When man does that, he always goes into idolatry and self-will and thinking of himself and what makes him feel good. God has not left it up to man to determine his own course to be saved, nor has He left it up to man by his own course and will and way to come to worship Him. This was Israel's problem, wasn't it? As we've gone through the book of Hosea, their problem was that they sought to come to God as His worshipers according to their own ways. As soon as King Jeroboam was made king over the northern nation of Israel and those tribes, what did he do? But he set up another god. He set up a calf to be an idol so the people could conveniently, so they wouldn't have to travel to Jerusalem, but they could conveniently worship these idols in place of God. He set up a different place for worship, two different places. He set up different priests, priests that weren't called by God, and all these things being opposed to God's instructions. And if King Jeroboam would have just followed the word of the Lord, they would not have fallen under such grave judgment. So we must understand, Christian people and Reformed Christian people, we who hang and solidly plant a flag on the regular principle of worship, worshiping God according to His word, and His will and His way. That is exactly where we should be. But we can often forget one thing, that we are to do that by faith. We are to do it by faith, as Abel did, believing that this is the way. It's not just a mechanical way. It's not just a legal way to worship God. It is the way to worship God. Why? Because God has called for us to do so. And so we believe that. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 14:23 that all things must be done in faith, and that includes worship. For whatever is not from faith is sin. When we worship by faith in Christ Jesus, according to God's word, we are assured that we will get the look of God. God will look at us. He will accept us. But when we stray from that and we worship according to our own wills or our own ways, we can also be assured that God will not look. He will not receive that worship, which is will worship, which Paul talks about in the book of Colossians. The danger for us sometimes is we come into a place of worship and we do those things which we believe God's word calls for. But we forget what it means to do them by faith. To be looking to God to receive us in the person of Jesus Christ. We also forget sometimes that though we may be doing the outward form right, that in our hearts, we have not come by faith. Faith is submitting to God's word, to His ways and His will. And that was the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel's presentation received the gaze of God because it was by faith, according to what God had instructed him in His word to him, whether through his parents or verbally. We're reading this now, how many years after this happened to Abel, before Genesis was ever written by Moses through the Spirit of God. But God was speaking as He spoke to Cain. He was speaking to Abel and Adam and Eve as well, informing them how they should come to Him. And we too must be careful that we do not come, that we cannot leave this room today and say, well, I worshiped God, I heard the word read, I heard it preached, I sung it, I prayed, and leave here unchanged by it. That would be the biggest indication that you did not come by faith. And don't you see in Abel's offering the Lord Jesus Christ? Abel's more excellent sacrifice was the firstborn of his flock. Christ is the firstborn of God, the preeminent one above all things, a lamb without spot. Abel's firstborn offering was slain. And we see that in the words where it talks about he brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. That is the laying open of the animal. Just as Christ was laid open, that his body was broken and his blood was shed for the remission of Abel's sins and for yours. Abel's was a more excellent sacrifice, a more excellent presentation, because it typified Christ Jesus in his sacrifice for sin. And it was given by faith, believing that the shedding of blood would bring about the remission of Abel's sins, as only Christ can do. Cain's presentation, on the other hand, was not acceptable. God could not look at it with favor because it denied the need for salvation. By not coming with an animal offering, Cain was saying, there's no need for the shedding of blood. What sins? I didn't do what my parents did. That's not my fault. But it is a denial of the shedding of blood which is needed for the remission of sins. It is the denial that what he was taught he was in need of. It was the denial of God's grace to forgive sin. It denied the need for mercy. It denied the need for God's grace or gaze to look upon Cain. Because you notice that even when Cain, when God came to Cain and spoke to him, Cain did not say, "Oh, I messed up. Forgive me. I'll go take the fruit of the ground that I have raised and I'll buy a lamb from Abel and I'll bring that sacrifice." He did not say that. He did not offer that kind of repentance, even though God had dealt with him in that way. Cain came in his own way, his own works, his own understanding of what it should take to have the gaze of God. Cain was the man of verse 39 in Hebrews chapter 11 who drew back to damnation. Cain reveals he was in fact not a man of faith. He wouldn't even accept God's counsel to him that we have here, where God went and spoke to him after his unqualified offering. The Lord could have easily and immediately dispensed with Cain and his offering. But he goes to Cain, he gives him counsel to do the sound, beautiful thing, and Cain even rejects this counsel. He proves by his actions who and what he was. The Word of God tells us also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, that Cain was a wicked one, murdering his brother because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. His offerings were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain's response was an unwillingness to submit to God's way of salvation and worship, and was followed by an act of murdering his brother. Cain must have thought if he murdered his brother, he wouldn't have this righteous one around him anymore. He would not have to be reminded of his guilt and sin. But oh, how wrong Cain was. Because we see that God is still using the blood of Abel for a righteous cause. We see God using the blood of Abel to still speak today. And it is by faith, it is by the faith of Abel that that happens. And that's our third point. The Lord respected Abel's persecution. Hebrews 11:4 tells us that though Abel has died by faith, dying in that faith, he still speaks to us, though he is dead. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10 tells us that the voice of Abel's blood cried out to the Lord from the ground. And let us not think that the Lord was in the dark about what Cain had done to Abel. Even though he came to him and was asking him these questions, he was not unaware of what had happened. He was not asking to gather information about Abel as if he could find him or couldn't find him. He was bringing Cain to admit that he had killed the righteous one. Not the righteous one in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the one who had been declared righteous. The Lord saw, and the Lord heard Abel's blood crying out to him. Psalm 116 tells us, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." God sees the persecution of his righteous ones. And we see how God respected the death of this one. How he looked upon Abel's death and blood, which was caused by his faithful actions. And what did God do for this one who was persecuted? The first person who was persecuted for faith came by someone in the covenant community. We might say it came from within the church, from the visible church. What did God do to show us that he had respect for the blood of Abel? First, he punished Cain for his murder. He cursed him from his farm labors. He banished him from his presence. And that's no small thing. As Cain said in verse 14, I shall be hidden from your face. Cain knew what it meant not to have the face of God looking upon you with favor. That was his response to God's punishment towards him. I will not have you looking at me. That's more than I can bear. In verse 16, as we read, it tells us that he went out from the presence of the Lord. And the word for face in verse 14 and presence in verse 16 are the same word. It is the face to look, to turn to something. Cain knew that God would always be turning away from him. That was his punishment. That was God looking upon Abel's blood that was shed. Second, he uses the blood of this faithful, righteous one to speak beyond the day of his death. And he is speaking to us today and has ever since it happened. This is the first occasion of a man being persecuted for his faith. This is the first time that someone who acted according to God's word was then persecuted because of it. And God is looking at Abel's blood and approving of dying by faith and in faith. And this is what happened to Jesus Christ. He was not persecuted mainly by the world or outside the church, but by those inside the church who hated his faithfulness. And do you not know that that's what the Pharisees and the scribes and all the people who were against Jesus, what they hated about him, was he was faithful to God and his word, exposing their unfaithfulness. Abel's blood cried out for justice against those who persecute the saints. And God will bring justice to them, as we're told in the book of Revelation. But there is another blood that is better than Abel's, and that blood is the blood of Christ. Hebrews 12:24, if you would turn there, tells us these things. Hebrews 12:24, and we'll look at this passage again when we get there. It says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Christ's blood is better than Abel's. Abel's cries out for justice against persecution of the saints. Christ's blood does that as well. But it also brings mercy and grace for salvation. His blood also will speak against those who do not come to God by faith. But for those who do, like Abel, the blood of Christ is better than Abel's blood. Abel's blood did not save him. His persecution did not save him. It is the blood of Christ in which Abel was trusting that we must also be trusting in to save us as well. And this is the call of God, not only upon Abel and Cain and everyone in between us and them, not only the call upon the Hebrews that the Spirit of God was writing to in the day of this letter, but also to us, to come to God by faith, and by faith alone, which will give evidence the true faith is not alone. True faith will act in obedience to the Lord, as Abel did and as Cain did not. Hebrews 10, verse 39. I'll end with this. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. And what is the Spirit referring to here? Those who believe. Those who by faith trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to come to God through Him for salvation and be made worshipers by faith as well, according to His Word. Cain and Abel give us a picture of one man, Abel, living by faith. Another man, Cain, living by his own works and his own merits. And on one, that person who came to him, to God by faith, God looked at and testified of his gift that he was righteous. And God accepted Abel through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do give you praise, Lord, having heard your word. Lord, we see clearly how from the beginning of man's sin, even before that, but here on earth, you have always been providing redemption by your Son Jesus Christ through faith alone, in your word alone. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to be people of faith in Christ alone, and that we will be people who have this kind of faith that is not alone, but is followed with faith in obedience to you.